So good way to come back today. Good job. Appreciate everyone putting effort into their marriage. I'm telling you, God's it's a big deal, and marriage is not easy. There's no part of it that's easy, but it's an extremely powerful relationship, and it takes effort and it takes work, and you have to invest in it. And so I'm grateful that you guys are all doing this weekend. It's a big deal. I love seeing everyone sitting together. I love seeing some of the more experienced in marriage folks sitting with also some of the ones who are just trying to get our feet on solid ground. Right? I mean, it's brilliant. I know, Lynn, was it 45 years? Anyone else over 40 years of marriage in here? Are you guys over? Where are you guys at? How many? 55 years.
That is awesome.
There's brilliance in the house, folks. Yeah. I'm telling you. And they both have talked to me, at least, since I've been here, and they don't know me. So they're obviously open to share wisdom, okay? So capitalize on some of the people that have brilliant, have experience, because it's a big deal. And so I love the fact that you're taking time this weekend to invest in your marriages, because it is a very powerful relationship that God has blessed us with, and it moves the needle in our families. It moves the needle in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our states, in our country, and it really is a powerful thing. So way to go investing in your marriage. This session here, we were assigned, and I really want to express my dearest thanks to the team, for assigning us this wonderful subject.
We
because there's nothing
volunteered.
Anybody wants to-
okay. Because this is not a subject matter that you hear a lot about in the church, honestly. We avoid this conversation. Why? Because there's a lot of conversations about this. And honestly, this is Christ-centered. This all about the bedroom is still bringing Christ in the bedroom. And we, sadly, because of our sexualized culture, we bring a lot of other stuff that is not Christ-centered into our bedrooms, and we succumb to what the culture says instead of us defining the culture with the Word of God in our bedroom. And so, you know, awkward, maybe we should have wore the awkward shirts today, but, you know, this can be an awkward conversation and discussion, but I just feel like I grew up in the church, and so you have many, I mean, there's probably all different backgrounds here in this room of how you were raised. And so, my parents, you know, they didn't have the sex talk, right? So there's those that never would even approach the subject. So you figured it out all on your own. Or, you know, you had the world standard because it was your friends and what they knew was normal and okay. And so when it was really interesting, because even when Pastor Cody talked to Jeremy about coming here, I always immediately asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Where do you have us to go? And one of the things he brought up was bring the heat. That phrase came as I'm headed to bed. And I'm like, what's that mean? You know what I mean? And so, and then as we've started talking and discussing different subjects of approaching, the bedroom talk needs to be discussed, okay? And so I just want to, this is, he talked a lot to the guys. Actually, that session was phenomenal. It was both directly directed to both of us, both sexes, amen, because we have to have freedom in the bedroom, okay? There needs to be some freedom. This is a spirit, soul, and body work, okay, with our Heavenly Father. And so Genesis 2:25 says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed, okay, can say law there, or ashamed in each other's presence. And, you know, do you realize your spouse married you? Right? I mean, as simple as that is, they picked you. And we allow, right, because maybe we started off a few pounds lighter. Come on. Okay. Maybe I started off, okay? I can directly involve myself in this, okay? And so I'm speaking from part of my aspect from where I was, okay? And so, and how I have a godly husband who knows how to love his spouse and encourage her in all stages of life, okay? And is into me. because he married me. So we can't allow that embarrassment or being ashamed of our bodies with our spouse. And just because we see the airbrushed magazines or everything on the screens that we're seeing, that's not reality. It's they're trying to make a reality for us, and that is not what it is. And so we need to have freedom in this area. And you know what embarrassed means? It means you're feeling or showing a state of self-consciousness. You're being self-conscious. Okay? Simple, right? Come on. We have got to be free to explore and have fun. I mean, why don't you start with number one?
What do you want to finish defining? Okay, so this is scripture. And I'll go there. I'm good. We're looking for free. She's like, right. We're not embarrassed or ashamed. Right. All right. And so what we're looking for is we're looking for freedom. Okay. Yes. In this arena.
Yes.
And so in order to be free, there's got to be some boundaries. Okay. And God has established in the Word of God, if you want to experience freedom, there's got to be a fence somewhere, okay? Otherwise, you get into trouble. My kids at one point, right now, my kids are 11, 12, and 13, or 12, 13, and 14, or they're in the
12, 14.
At one point in time, my kids were 1, 2, and 3 years old, or 3, 4, and 5. They were younger, and I have a riverfront property. I live on the Yellowstone River, okay, in Glendive, Montana. I got 2 acres on the river, and it's gorgeous. It's fabulous. It's God's gift. It's the best. I'm not kidding you guys. And my house is tiny. I live in a tiny house. Not a tiny house as in like, but a small. My home is small, but my land is big, and my view is you can't beat it. Okay, so it's good to be me. But I have a chain link fence around like an acre of. I have my backyard is huge, and it's all fenced in, chain link fence all the way in my backyard, and then. Basically, there's the riverbank, and it's about an 18-foot bank, and then there's a little walking trail down it, and then you're on the Yellowstone River, and I've got 15 yards from the bank to the river, and I got it's like 60 yards long. Okay, so I got a chunk that's mine right on the Yellowstone River, and my kids didn't know how to swim, and so they could go play in the backyard, and the backyard's got a chain link fence, and my kids were willing to do anything they wanted in the backyard. I got a swing set, I got a trampoline. I got, a basketball hoop. We got a toy box. Anything you could ever imagine is available in the backyard, right? But they had a boundary. You can't go outside the chain link fence. This is when they were 2, 3, and 4 because they couldn't swim. They didn't know how to swim. And twice a year when the ice goes out and then for about a 3-week period at the end of May, beginning of June, it's not safe to be down in that area because when the ice can jam and water can raise quickly and then the ice can go out and it takes 150-year-old trees and just turns them into broken toothpicks. So it's a lot of power when the ice goes out at my house, potentially. There's also, during the June rise or whatever you want to call it, the water comes up and it's moving extremely quickly and there's a lot of debris in the water. So if you end up, even if you are able to stand or be in the water, it's moving quite quickly and there are big logs and trees and things. Other things that are like, it's dangerous. Yeah. And so even though most of the time of the year you could go down to the river at my house and just wade around and it's just tame, there are a couple times, and at that stage, my kids are not able to go down to the river because they're 2, 3, and 4. They don't know how to swim. It's dangerous. So I can't have them going anyways. So they could do anything. Anything they want in the backyard.
Yep.
There was a boundary, and that boundary created freedom. And when they went on the other side of the fence, they realized this is not a place for you to be. And they had to get back inside the fence. And so God has laid out boundaries for us in our marriage bed, right? And they're brilliant. And he gives us a reason. You can find reasons. There are reasons for the marriage bed in the Word of God, right?
Yes.
Genesis talks about right away. You know what? This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them. This is talking about when he created man and woman. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, right? There is a reason for the marriage bed, and one of those reasons, not the only, this is a reason, is for procreation, right? To have kids, all right? To fill the earth, to multiply, to be fruitful. That is a reason, not the reason. Another reason is sex.
That's an amen.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
2 Samuel chapter 12 says that David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and laid with her. So procreation and the marriage bed can also bring comfort.
Yes.
It can bring comfort. There's an emotion. There's not just a physical. There is. We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
But there's also can be an emotional.
Yes.
Comforting, binding, connection. Connecting.
Yes.
You know.
Strengthening.
That is. I'm just showing you the fence. A. Multiplication. B. Comfort. And another reason that I found in the Word of God, and that is in Proverbs 5:18, and that's satisfaction, enjoyment, entertainment. Okay?
Yes.
I'm just explaining these words to you, okay?
Yes.
And this is what it says. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She's a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. So the marriage bed is also a place of recreation, enjoyment, satisfaction. So we're just creating the boundary, right?
Yes.
So sometimes it can be bring comfort. Sometimes it's just flat out fun. Come on, baby. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're trying to start a family. I'm not kidding you. If you we didn't experience difficulties in this arena, but we have friends who have struggled to bring forth a child. And they'll tell you, man, it's like sex becomes a work, and it's not
duty.
Fun. It's a job, and you know what I mean. I'm like, but that is part of. Sometimes you just got to do it, right?
Yeah.
There's different. You know what I mean? If you're trying to have a kid, you're not going to have one without entertaining yourself in the marriage bed.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just laying out the boundary. Okay.
Being frank.
And so there's reasons that God brings forth in the Word of God. Procreation to multiply, it will bring comfort and satisfaction, entertainment, things like that. And so that's our fence,
yes.
Right? That's our fence.
Yes.
And so if I'm in the marriage bed to prove my authority over this home, I'm the man of this house, and you're just gonna do that. Is that one of the reasons you're outside the fence, Jack? This is not the time when I could put my thumb on my wife and say,
your body's mine.
Yeah, and abuse and manipulate scripture, okay?
No.
Come on, okay? And so there are boundaries, other boundaries. And this, people ask questions. I teach a class in Bible school about marriage, and I get questions, and people say, well, what can we do? What should we do? And understand there's different stages of life, and you might not be... In a stage where sometimes this gets awkward, but there's different things. When we were having our second child, Sky, we were in a doctor's office, and he was warning us because my wife we didn't want to just go with they can measure your kid and say, oh, you're gonna have to have a cutout, cesarean, and she wasn't really excited about that, and so she wasn't just accepting what he said. She was trying to bring forth questions and like, why, I mean, can't even try, different things like this, okay? And so he went through some different things and said, well, you're taking a risk, this can happen, which, and he just looked at her and said, I want you to make sure you can have sex with your husband, you know, after that, you know, all these things. And so there are things that happen to our bodies that can hinder or make it more difficult, maybe, or create, not even hurdles or another degree of difficulty to enjoying your marriage bed. And there are things to help in that type of thing. And so people say, well, what can we do? What can't we do? And there is a boundary in the marriage bed. And the boundary is it's for you and your spouse.
Yes.
Okay? And so the boundary is large. I'm just going to be flat on the marriage bed boundary. It's huge. Huge. Reproduction, comfort, entertainment, satisfaction. Right? Don't bring anybody else in there. It's for you and your spouse.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means we got to put the porn away. I'm sorry, but your marriage, you can't have pornography. It's not going to create.
No.
It's not going to create the freedom that you want to experience in your marriage bed. Okay? You got to get rid of it. I don't. It's not going to allow you to be free in that situation. It's going to hinder. Okay? So then you get outside the fence. People say like, well, what about this and that and this? I say everything goes except for stay in the boundary. And that is, nobody else is allowed. And I don't dress my wife up like the maid.
No.
I like my wife to wear sexy outfits, okay?
You know?
My wife is, okay, if your wife is a maid and that's your thing, or you're she's a police officer and that's a thing, you just do your thing, man, okay? I'm all right with that. But my wife is my wife is not my secretary. My wife is not a school teacher. My wife is not a police officer. I'm not dressing her up like
We're
that.
We're not role playing here.
That's the thing. I don't. I would venture to say this. And there's always repentance. Listen, you can get over. I'm just. It's your marital sexual relationship will flourish if you stay inside the fence, and no one else should be invited into your marriage bed. Okay, that means I don't think my wife is somebody else than she is. I don't pretend that she's somebody else than she is. A pornography's not allowed. Mm-hmm. Because that just is going to create, it's going to create bondage in my marriage, not freedom in my marriage bed. And people talk about toys, things like this, sexy outfits. Smoke them if you got them. Love them. Whatever. I don't care. I don't let anybody else, I don't pretend. I'm just trying to, is this okay? Are you guys all right? I'm not trying to be weird. I mean, the questions get asked, sometimes there are things that can help and praise the Lord. I don't care upside down, left, right, this way. Who cares if it brings entertainment or fun or comfort? Or I don't care. Don't let anybody else in. That's the boundary. It's a hard boundary because when you start pretending, I mean, I'm okay. Like the sexy outfits, I'm into it, man. I love it. I love like underwear, lingerie. I like it. I'm not saying that you have to. We're not telling you what to do. I'm just trying to create a boundary. There's nothing that doesn't say your wife can't look smoking hot and have makeup on and you can't leave the light on.
Right.
There's nothing against that in the Word of God, okay? There is something against me dressing my wife up like somebody she's, like, and me pretending some childhood fantasy of what, you know, that's not.
It's not okay.
That's not okay, okay? So if you want to experience freedom in your marriage bed, we got to stay inside the boundary. Okay, and so
boundaries are for our protection. We
they
know
are.
That.
They're for protection. They're going
to allow
you to be free
of your marriage.
Do anything
to be
you
free.
Want inside the fence.
Yes,
smoke them if you got them. I don't care. Right? It should be fun. It should be entertaining. It should bring comfort. It should be bring closeness.
Yeah.
And you know, and so just I'm just trying to lay out some generical boundaries. She's gonna measure. You got boundaries. And from the boundaries, then you have to get over some things because we have some things that we have to get over if we want to experience freedom.
Yes.
And so she's going to cover some more about that.
And that's why we go back to Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. Embarrassed is feeling or showing a state of being self-conscious. We cannot, ladies. Why do I say that? Because I know my husband, and he told you all last night, he is very what? Uninhibited, right?
Physically.
Now, emotionally, he can be a vault.
Very modest.
Very modest.
I'm emotionally modest, so if I share my emotions with my wife, and I find out that she talked to her sister about my emotional condition,
it's not
I'm going to share much less with her in the future.
He feels unsafe.
And my wife is physically modest. I'm physically immodest. I could throw myself down on the bed, butt naked, and go Austin Powers like, does this make you horny? You know what I mean? I got no problems doing that. I don't give a rip. I'm physically immodest. I don't care. I don't care if you enjoy what I look like. I want to get nude. It doesn't bother me. But my wife is physically
I will not
modest.
Do that.
And so if I talk to people, hey, Pastor Corden, let me tell you what my wife did for me. It's got to be protective. You got to be safe. Your marriage bed, listen, you have to be safe with one another. You got to understand the differences in one another.
Yeah.
And so anyways.
Yeah, because we don't want to be uneasy or be reserved. You know, we're wanting to be open in all areas. I want communication. Communication in the bedroom is a really big deal. And so we have to get over ourselves. The first one is boundaries. We have to create boundaries within marriage and in our bedroom. But we also have to be over ourselves. That is the most freeing statement that a minister came in several years to our church and said, you know what? You got to get over yourself. And that is for every area, because we have got to be, we can't allow embarrassment of where we are. We have to constantly go back to, he married me, he loves me. And you, I mean, guys, your affirming of your wife in the different stages that she's in. When she's pregnant and her belly's growing and she's feeling uncomfortable and she's frustrated because everything's changing, to even after that stage, when you feel you're terrible about yourself because your body's trying to get back to its normal first conditions, right? And so every stage of life, my husband was so encouraging. He's like, I love you. He would be, you still got it, babe. You do it for me. I mean, these things that are small statements that maybe, you know, I didn't feel like I was doing it for him. Why? Because I was allowing embarrassment, being ashamed of where things were, that, you know, it totally inhibits you in the bedroom. And so if you can just allow yourself to get over yourself, and he, over himself, being able to communicate things, but he will not do that if you're going blabbing to the so-and-so and so-and-so, and you're creating a very unsafe atmosphere, you will not have fulfillment in the bedroom whatsoever, because you'll both close down, because you know you can't trust him and he knows that you can't he can't trust you. And so it's a really big deal. And so, you know, one of the things is that is, ladies, we got to understand how men are, okay? We got to understand that God made us different by design. And we can say, oh, I know, that's how men are. And I'm generically speaking for the most part, okay? But guess what? They are visually stimulated.
Come on now. Maybe it's me. Is it just me? Maybe it's just me.
You have to take care of yourself. What do I mean by that? You know, if you're only having sex after you are at the end of the night when you're dead tired and you've maybe popped into the shower and you're just like in your grandma PJs, you know what I mean? You're in the flannels, you know, all the things. I'm sorry. That's not going to always do it for your husband. Now, listen to my heart here. I knew some of these things because I had communication with him. Because I'm going to get comfy when I go to bed, right? I'm going to dress in the jams that make me feel good and I can sleep well. And in our conversations, knowing that, you know, he wants to see me maybe with something a little skimpier in the bedroom. Oh, okay. Some of the stuff I literally just came out of conversation because I wasn't trying to not please my husband. You know, he wanted to please me and I wanted to please him, but we hadn't had conversations. I didn't know. We allow the culture around us to speak for us sometimes instead of actually having the conversation ourselves. And so we have to realize, hey, they're visually stimulated. Guess what? Women are emotionally stimulated. So we need the occasional butt grab or the occasional, hey, I love you, the touching, you know. And I understand not everybody's my husband's not just a, hey, give me all the hugs and the feels, you know what I mean? We are not that couple that's just romantically endearing to one another. We are not the ushy-gushy kind of couple. We are not, you know, but because we see that, you know, I mean, why do men resort to porn? And why do we have to say that in the church? Because it's not being talked about in the church. And many people are having issues with pornography and bringing it in. And part of that, ladies, is because you're not helping matters in this situation. I'm not putting the blame on you. I'm saying we have to just look at it. Just like put all the cards out on the table and look at the stuff and analyze and critique things so that we can get better, because I want fulfilled here. I'm not looking fulfillment out here. I mean, we understand it starts here. He doesn't make it. He's not the end all be all. We have that between us and God, but there is that connection. There is that intimacy, true intimacy, that will be emotional intimacy, a friendship. A true enjoyment, a laughing over situations and things that you talk about and things that you do, you know, because why? Because you've realized, okay, you know what? I need my emotions helped out a little bit. Stimulate me there. okay? And then I'm going to also stimulate you in the area of visual because it's a big deal. And to, I think just to say, oh, well, that's not me. That's not who I am. I think that's a cop-out. I think it's selfish. And so we talked a little bit about selfishness. We're not trying to say, oh, just because he likes this and this, we're talking about a communication and opening up, having those heart-to-heart conversations about the things that we like.
The same laws of marriage also regulate the marriage bed. And so we're not in competition, right? There's priority, there's pursuit, there's possession, and there's purity. And so they all govern the marriage bed. And so marriage isn't for selfish people. And marriage isn't so I can be served. Marriage is so I can serve. Right. That's why I got married. I'm going to serve my spouse. And so it's not, well, your body's mine. It belongs to me. Well, technically, your body's hers, so she doesn't want you to do that. I mean, there's like it goes both ways, okay? It's called being selfish. Well, I want to do this. And she's like, I don't want to do that. And you're like, tough. And you're like, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. It's not about that. Here's the deal. You have to have communication. I like this. I this is something. And you're like, I don't know. That's not really a... And so you don't just go to tough cookies. I use an example, okay? Lights. My wife's... And I don't think maybe everyone's not visual. I like to see my wife. I think my wife's smoking hot. I she's got equipment that I don't have. I like to check it out. I like to snoop around a bit. I like it, okay? I like it. I liked it when it was pregnant. I mean, the pregnant thing, just, it was like, I was into it, okay? I like my wife, all right? And so, but if she's not in a place where she doesn't like herself, right? Instead of just throwing the curtains in the room open, remember my house, my windows line up and, you know, letting the daylight in and saying, let's get it, you know, get the Marvin Gaye going. And you know what I mean? Listen, she doesn't want to do that. How about we both have to take steps towards getting to where we can win in that arena and getting comfortable in that arena. So you know what? I keep the curtains closed. I turn the lights off and I light a candle. And then, you know, down the road, I can now light 2, 3, 4 candles. And I can get to the point where I can totally, no, I just flip the lights on. You know what I mean? It's just an example, okay? It's just an example. We're trying to figure out a safe example because there is the thing where you're like, I want my wife to do this, and you want to just do it, you know? And you're like, I don't want to do that. And that's not going to, the laws of marriage, it's you can't be selfish. So you can't be selfish and just force your own will upon your spouse. That's not going to produce freedom for you, okay? And at the same time, just because there's something that you don't, you're not looking forward to, or you don't understand, there are things you can do to take steps towards, you know what I mean, working together to serve one another. You know, does this make sense?
You're trying
to get over yourself and go, you know what?
It happened just overnight.
This is a process.
Where we are today has been years in the making of continuous conversation, because there's times we have highs and lows, right? And ebbs and flows in marriage. And sometimes you're just like stiff arm. You get into funky areas and phases of wherever you are. It's still the continuing of pursuing one another. 100%, 100%. You're going after, hey, this makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like this. I don't see it the same way that you see it. But you're doing it in such a way that it can be received, not where you're feeling rejected or allowing shame to come in to where it never belongs within the marriage.
Yes, the goal is freedom, right? No. The words that the Amplified uses is no shame and no embarrassment, right? That's painting a picture of what freedom in the marriage bed looks like. And so you have to be protective of, I don't know where you were here, so I moved to your page. You've got to get, you're trying to get to the stage, because she didn't like her own self. And I'm like, I like yourself. You know, I want to check this thing out, man. Let me, you know.
And I mean, like, lady, we have to apply the word to ourselves and speak over ourselves and get a scripture and say, you know what? I mean, what something that was freeing to me is a quote that I got out of a book, that my self-worth and my self-image is not based upon what other people think or what other people say, but my self-worth and my self-confidence is based on the word of God. The word of God says I'm beautiful. The word of God says I'm perfect and pure and holy. The word of God says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The word of God says I can overcome in every area, not just in the areas that I feel comfortable in or more confident in. It says all. And so I had to apply the word to myself because confidence looks good on people.
Amen.
And it's being confident in what God first spoke over us through the word, that so many times we're not allowing the word to truly be a mirror to us. We're not allowing the word to saturate and get into our hearts concerning things. And so we all have our own issues. And we have to, that's how we get over those issues, is by applying the word, and a confidence will come in.
See, it's really good. So we're trying to get to the place of freedom. So it's going to take effort. It's going to take communication. It's going to take serving one another. Not just trying to get your own. Yeah.
Serving yourself.
You know what I mean? It is a process. And then you begin to start to get to experience what freedom in that arena looks like. And it's fabulous. Freedom is so much better than being bound. Okay? And Jesus set us free. And God gave us our marriage bed for a comfort, for recreation, for production, you know, and so it is a godly thing. You know, that's something you have to be feeling. You know, we're trying to get over those things. So you have to learn to get over yourself. You don't have to feel ashamed because you like something or you would like to, you know, you don't have to feel ashamed. You know, and you don't have to feel embarrassed because I like the lights on. I do. And I'm using this as an example. You can put whatever it is, whatever your jam is. I don't care. As long as you're not letting don't let anybody else
boundaries.
In there. You really got to protect this place, man, because it is a holy ground. It is it's the best playground in the world. But anyways, you're going to.
Yep. And then we got to practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You've got to. This doesn't happen overnight, right?
Yeah.
You have to work at this. You have to implement, you know, you've got to. We're doing the word, right?
Yeah.
We're applying the word of God to our life. You have to, at some point, take a step and start implementing. Have a conversation.
Be vulnerable.
It is awkward to talk to your...
Yes.
If you've never done this before, it's awkward to have a conversation with your clothes off, with your spouse, and say, you know, it's awkward. Can be. But it gets... as you decide, I'm going to talk. Let's find out. Like are you... are you disappointed or are you whatever it is that you want to chit chat about? What would bring you comfort in this arena in our life? What would bring you entertainment? What would bring you?
Is there anything frustrating you? Is this not pleasing to you?
You can have these conversations,
yes.
So they're not always fun. You know, like I thought that's just what you liked. Didn't know you wasn't into that. You know, I'm sorry. You know, what do you want to do? I mean, it's awkward. It gets less awkward as you put it in practice. Just do the word. So you do. You have to get over yourself. You can't get over yourself in a minute. It takes a little process.
You know, sex was God's design, and I think we forget that, you know, because of being, you know, molded to the culture that we're around. God designed this. This is His design. And when we realize that, we're not trying to bring the world into it. We're just trying to explore and enjoy what God first designed and gave to us. And so you have to be open. You have to realize the differences. Men and women were created different. And for us women to just, because I have issues in an area, and to just say I'm not willing to work on that is wrong. It's wrong. Just as much as it is for the husband to say, give it to me anytime I want, whenever I want, and not be not serving you in some areas as well. And so it is a twofold thing here. But if we can allow the vulnerability, if we can allow the communications to take place, you will you'll both be fulfilled. You'll find out flourishing in so many ways. There'll be communication. And I mean, I know this is, the bedroom is sex talk, right? We're talking sex, but we're emotionally, it's a whole nother level that you go to of sacredness and kindredness together in marriage. And we just have to go there. You want to be fulfilled, correct?
Amen. You like, my wife gets to the promised land in a different way than I do. Okay, we'll just be brief. If my wife gets to experience what I get to experience, don't you know that this activity will happen much more frequently? You got to understand we're different. We are different. And what brings me home is not the same. So I've got to serve my spouse. And as I serve my spouse, then we both are fulfilled. And then it's the same laws of marriage you apply to everything, to your communication life, to your the way that you raise your kids and the agreement that you come into, and these different things that Pastor Corey and Cody were talking about in applying the Bible to your marriage. The same thing, applying the Bible to your marriage bed. And if I will serve my spouse, right? And I'm telling you, it is a very freeing thing. It is a very enjoyable. It can bring amazing comfort. I mean, there are times when, I mean, you look at that portion of scripture when David comforted his wife. That was a horrible time. Her child just passed away. That stinks. If you've had a child pass away, worst thing ever. Okay? And he brought comfort to his wife through that arena. And I'll guarantee he didn't bring comfort to his wife by going and say, let me, you know. I mean, he comforted his wife, all right? And so if we serve one another in this arena, we got to get over ourselves. You know, and if you feel embarrassed or you feel ashamed, we got to deal with those things, because Jesus took our shame. Yeah, we can get over that. So we can get over that stuff, and we can find our place in enjoying what God has given us to enjoy, and bringing freedom and bringing liberty and bringing fulfillment in that arena. So
yeah, because selfishness has no right. And you won't be sexually, either one of you will not be sexually fulfilled if you're selfish. That's an element that will be destructive. If all you want is what you want and you're not willing to go the length of awkward and having those moments of conversation, you know, and you got to be careful. Even unresolved anger, hurts, those things that, perfect example, Pastor Cody said about, or Corey said about Adam and Eve. They didn't have any baggage. They didn't have any baggage to deal with. A lot of us have baggage that we're dealing with. Whether you've had multiple partners before, whether you're brand new to the thing, maybe it's blended. There's all sorts of different dynamics that you can bring into another marriage. And you have to be careful that you are dealing with unresolved issues. You have to deal with things, because all we deal is we take ourselves to every other situation. And so we have to, if there's issues, if there's things, hurts that came in between, there are things between, yeah, there was some outside stuff, but there's also stuff that just because we were young and dumb, just because we were ignorant to some things, didn't know how to communicate properly, we're selfish. We had to deal with something. We made a lot of our own issues. Okay, so we had to work them out. You know, I'm telling you, love your, you know, how it talks about love your enemies. Your spouse is not your enemy, but at times they sure certainly are dressed up and look like one to you, because they're not our enemies. But I'm telling you, there are times, because of the unresolved things that you just haven't dealt with, they end up, you turn them into your enemies when they're not. And so praying with your spouse is beautiful. Praying for your spouse, you know, pray for your enemies. pray for those who persecute you. I'm not trying to put us, understand my heart. I'm not trying to say they are your enemy. But there are times when you're going through things and you feel like they are an enemy to you, that hold them up. Speak them up. Talk them up, man. Because we can't allow this unresolved stuff. Because, listen, it's there'll be a resolve to it. It'll be a revolving door.
Good. That's good. Amen? There's boundaries. Don't let anyone else in there, right? Use it for what God has intended to use it for. Don't use sex as a weapon. Don't use it as a bargaining chip.
No.
Don't use it to manipulate, right? It should be a freeing place. It should be a place to bring us together in a place of comfort, a place of entertainment, of fun. It's, you know, recreation, satisfaction. And then get over yourself. Get your place to where you don't feel ashamed. You don't feel, embarrassed. Embarrassed, ashamed. And then you've got to put effort into it. You've got to put some communication. You got to. You just got to put it into practice. Amen? Yeah. I don't know if this is hoping this has helped. Yeah. I mean, we've got questions and we got Q&A coming up, and not like that can't happen, but, that's kind of what we want to share. I don't know if you got anything else you're looking to hit. That's kind of the deal. Freedom in this arena, that's really what we're looking for, is freedom in that arena. Amen?